Rob, let's go right back to our guest line. What a busy time in Las Vegas for the NCAA basketball tournament. Tournaments in general. Vegas is really tournament central with all of the conference get-togethers and now all the people coming in for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I want to welcome in our good friend Nick Bogdanovich with Circa, and he is one of the foremost odds makers and a guy who's been in his business an awful long time. How many people came to Vegas for that first week, Nick?
A zillion. Yeah, the town was absolutely, it was bursting at the seams. It was a very, very good day for the entire city of Las Vegas, to say the least.
Was it a good day for the house, or did some of these upsets leave you reeling?
Yeah, no, we held our own the first 4 days. So yeah. I would say the first week went to the bookmaker, and we'll see how the second week goes. Get started tomorrow, and you know, got some really good games.
People say, well, you know, there's going to be a Final Four in Vegas now. You've got the big stadium there, and so many other things. They're talking about a Big Ten tournament possibly coming to Las Vegas once. We get the Western influence in with USC, UCLA, and who knows which other schools might wind up in Vegas on a rotating basis. But is this just a crazy time there? What's it like for that first week of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's incredible. Gambling was so taboo just short time ago. And now Las Vegas is hosting a NCAA tournament games. It's crazy. And the one thing that we also got the NIT finals here. Can you believe that? We got the NIT finals away from Madison Square Garden. They'll be at the Orleans this year. So, yeah, there's no question that Vegas is a basketball hotbed.
Nick, I have to tell you, this was probably 30 years ago, and the NCAA had a seminar. And they invited 12 of us from around the country to come to Kansas City and the headquarters there in Overland Park, Kansas, and listen to all of these presentations about the then future of college athletics and the number one worry. I mean, more than boosters, more than academic fraud, if you can believe it, was gambling. And they thought that this was going to be the biggest worry and that we were going to have a lot of fixed games. We were going to have all sorts of distorted outcomes. And now here they are. They're partners.
No doubt about it. And throw in the nil money now to boot. It is literally the wild, wild west.
What was Circa? What were all of these big-time casinos with sports books like Friday night when Purdue started to fade, and then you saw FDU wasn't going away, and finally the smallest team in college basketball slayed the giant, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, did they have a slingshot on the bench or what? I mean...
It was
the greatest matchup for Purdue. I mean, their tallest starter, 6'6", and the player of the year in the entire country, you figured he'd go for 35, no problem. But
yeah,
Purdue just couldn't hit a three. And then you just keep a team around long enough, and then now the pressure really mounts and mounts, and before you know it, you're going home. So that one and done makes it interesting for sure. At any time, that something like that can happen. I never in my lifetime thought a one would beat a 16, but Maryland, Baltimore County, and Fairleigh Dickinson proved me wrong. So it's why it's the best tournament in the world, bar none, end of story.
Nick, UMBC beat Virginia by 20 points, but this one might have been even more shocking because Fairleigh Dickinson is the only 16 seed in history that did not win its conference. Normally, to get in, you're from a grade C conference, and you just happen to win your conference tournament. But that's not what happened here. And you got a team that only got in because the champion was ineligible. So it kind of skanks in, 19-15. And, the line was, I think, 23.5. That's the last one I saw. And nobody thought that FDU was going to stick around except head coach Tobin Anderson and his players. And after their first four win, Nick, he promised that they were going to beat Purdue. And talk about poking the bear. He said, I want Purdue to hear this. And then he went on and basically was a prophet. But we were seated just down from the broadcast crew. We were probably 8 feet away from the celebration postgame. And I took a boatload of pictures of it. But FDU was fearless for the full 40 minutes, and Purdue came out kind of thinking, we'll just do this as a walkthrough. This is like a practice for us. And then it got a little more concerned, and then it got worried, and then it got tight. And once it got tight, we knew that, it was if FDU had any players left at the end of the game, that they were going to be right in it. And Purdue couldn't have thrown it in the ocean from the boat.
Yeah, it was really painful to watch if you were sitting there rooting for Purdue. I mean, it really was painful. I mean, it was impossible they could play that bad, and yet they did.
Yeah. Well, they'd had some practice. They lost to a 13 seed, and then they lost to a 15 seed. The good news for the Boilermakers is there are no 17 seeds, so the trend cannot continue. But you probably have seen these numbers. I just looked them up again because I couldn't believe it. Do you know what Matt Painter's annual salary is at Purdue? And I like Matt Painter a lot. He was as classy as you can get in defeat. But you know what his salary is?
These college coaches make so much money now between shoe deals and things. I'm assuming he's making $3 or $4 million a year.
Yeah, you're right. He's guaranteed, $3.55 million. Now he's going to have some outside deals, which are going to inflate that. But that's in a bad day. You don't have to hold a benefit for this guy. You know what Tobin Anderson makes this year as the coach at Fairleigh Dickinson?
Well, it wasn't very much, but he just got a big pay raise. I guess he just took the Iona job today.
He did.
Yeah. So
$40,000. $40,000. You got parking attendants in Vegas who make that. You got bartenders who make that in tips.
That's correct.
Unbelievable. So now we've got 16. I don't know how sweet they are, but to them, they're sweet. And as you look at it, you got two ones. We got two twos, three threes. And then we've got one that's an outlier, Princeton, winning twice as a 15 seed. What kind of odds could I have gotten if I'd walked in and said, I want to bet that Princeton will be in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, you would have gotten a big number. I mean, I know they were 2,500 to 1 to win it all. So,
yeah,
you could have you. I don't. There wasn't. I didn't see a price on Princeton to win get in the Sweet 16. So I can't tell you for sure. But it is a nice mix of 16. You got the two real Cinderella stories in Florida Atlantic and Princeton, and then you got the mid-major from a middle conference like San Diego State represented it, and then you got a lot of the blue blood. So got a little bit of everything. So it's a good mix, and the second week is always a good week. It's nothing compared to the first week. The first week is the greatest show on earth, but the second week is definitely better than I think the semis and the finals. The more games, the merrier.
Yeah, Nick, Princeton beat the team that Tom Izzo thought might win it all, and that's Arizona, the 2 seed. But would you have gotten a better price, better odds on Princeton winning 2 or Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue, the 1 seed?
Well, I know you could take 30 to 1 on the money line with Charlie Dickinson in the one game alone. So
okay,
it's pretty close, very close.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
both very, very unexpected events, and I can't believe how Princeton disposed of Missouri with the that wasn't even a game. I mean, that was the easiest win of the tournament. So. Ivy League magic. I mean, Ivy League plays good basketball. You better be straight and better show up ready to play. I think they will. I do think Creighton is someone to contend with. It wouldn't shock me if they won it. But I know one thing: if you're a Blue Jay fan, if you say, "Listen, you get Princeton in the Sweet 16," you couldn't be any. You'd be over the moon.
You know, it's funny you talk about the Ivy League. And, Nick, back in 1965, this was the second of John Wooden's 10 championships. Gail Goodrich went off and scored 42 points, and Bruins beat Michigan for the championship. But no one from either of those teams was the most outstanding player of the tournament. That's hard to imagine in this day and age when it's almost always from the championship team. But the most outstanding player was Bill Bradley from Princeton, and he only scored 58 in the Final Four in one game. So, he was...
Dollar Bill was pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good, yeah. And you think about another Ivy League team, going back to 1979 and a Final Four that Michigan State fans all remember. Everyone knows about Irvin Johnson and Larry Bird, Michigan State and undefeated Indiana State in the championship game. But you can win a lot of lunch bets on who Michigan State beat in the semifinals. Very few people will remember it was Penn.
Penn, wasn't it?
Penn was right. I mean, they were awesome. And they beat North Carolina in the East region. And Michigan State had prepared. They had scouted North Carolina. They were ready for North Carolina. And then they wind up with Penn, and they won 101-67. But Penn certainly deserved to get there. They beat all the teams they had to along the way. So Ivy League can jump up and get you if you're not careful. I'm looking at the regions now, and in the Midwest, Nick, it's almost chalk. It's one seed Houston versus five seed Hoosier killing Miami. And then in the other, it's second seeded Texas and third seeded Xavier. Who do you like in that bracket?
Well, now that Houston seems healthy, Sasser obviously played 31 minutes and had a good game, so I'm assuming the groin is behind him. It's hard.
Yeah.
Houston's awful good, but I'd love to see Jimmy Larrañaga win it, not the 1-2 or the 3, but the 5. I'd love to see him. You know, I've always his magical run with George Mason. I've been a big fan ever since. So I'd like to see Miami, even though they bought their team with the nil money, I wouldn't mind seeing them get through. But Houston's a heck of a story, too. I mean, Kelvin Sampson's done a great job wherever he's been. The Final Four in Houston, it's in a mid-major. It's not one of the big conferences with all the money and the facilities. So Houston would not be a bad story. So either Sampson or Larrañaga I would like to see come out of there.
And you have no interest in Texas beating Houston and being in its home state? Texas has so many advantages. It's one of the ultimate have programs. Doesn't always play that way, but there isn't much that Texas wants that it can't get.
Yeah, Texas has more money than U.S. Steel. So that's a good story, too. You lose the coach midway.
Yep.
You know, the assistant steps up and keeps all the pieces together, and they rally around. So I mean, that's not a bad story. In Texas, I don't think they've ever won a national. They've ever won a basketball title.
No.
So that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
The South region, the upper left quadrant of your bracket, you have top-seeded, top-ranked Alabama versus San Diego State, the 5 seed. And then in the other matchup, you have 15th-seeded Princeton Tigers against the 6-seeded Creighton Blue Jays. That's an interesting one with no team there ranked or seated in the top five. Is that Alabama's all the way, or can you see a situation where maybe those freshmen might crack under pressure?
I'm sort of hoping so. I mean, it's obviously the most lopsided region left. It figures to be Alabama, Creighton would be a heck of a game. But in this crazy environment, I mean, if Early Dickinson could beat Purdue, San Diego State's or Princeton's could certainly win one of these two games. I think Alabama's best game is better than anyone's in the country, but they don't have to have it every now and then. I mean, Brandon Miller was, you know, battling a little nagging injury, and he went 5-for-17. He's the
right,
you know, best freshman in the country, so he doesn't have to have it. And San Diego State's awful physical, and they won't be intimidated. They'll go right at him. Now they're offensively challenged, so they always have 6 or 7 minutes where they barely score. So they're gonna have to win an ugly game. They're gonna have to win a game in like the low 60s, but it can be done. But Alabama, it looks like they're playing their first two games. I watched them; they're playing a lot harder on the defensive side of the ball than they did in the regular season. Regular season, they were just down and out score you. First two games, they were actually bent their knees and got down into defensive stance. They played some really good defense. So if they bring that same defensive intensity, I do think they'll get through this region.
What about the Brandon Miller controversy? And now, Nick, each site, the attention ratchets up and you get more non-sports people coming in to cover it. You're starting to get people following Alabama from news side, legal analysts. You're going to have court reporters. How difficult is it going to be for him to just think about basketball?
Well, you would think it would be really hard. But as bad, it was a horrible story. And then when they broke that he had delivered the gun, and then after that, they went and patted down in a pregame warm-up. To me, it doesn't seem like it's bothering them too much. So to me, I don't think they don't. You know, it's like water off a duck's back. It just seems like it's no big deal to them. So I don't think the extracurricular circus is going to bother them at all. I think they'll just go out there and play. And they may lose, but I don't think it'll be because they're distracted from other things.
I mean, did you hear Nick Saban yesterday? And he had some discipline to hand down, and did that with a harsh rebuke and almost a backhanded slap at Nate Oates and the basketball program. And some of the people were wondering, you know, what's Saban doing here? Is he doesn't like the basketball program? And someone even said to me, Tom Izzo was one of Nick Saban's best friends, and if it winds up with Alabama and Michigan State playing in the national semifinal, it's going to be almost impossible for Saban, because he can't be seen rooting against his school. But how can he root against his neighbor and best friend, or one of his best
friends? Yeah, no, I would guarantee you, if those two play and you injected Saban with truth serum, he'll be rooting for Izzo in that game. Guaranteed.
All right. Princeton as the 15 would have to beat Creighton and either Alabama or SDSU to get to the Final Four. What kind of story would that be? And could you have gotten a bet at any point about Princeton making the Final Four?
No, I didn't see one. I do know one thing. I like Florida Atlantic's chances. I think they have a really good chance of beating Tennessee. They're only a 5-point underdog. And at one point during the year, I mean, you got to remember, this team's like 33-3. They've been people taking notice along the way that they've had a hell of a team. At one time, we had them at like 3,000-1. I would love to have a ticket right now at 3,000-1 for any dollar amount you want to give me so I could sweat in four games. But that would be one heck of a story. I think the guy, the coach there, is a came from the Bobby Knight tree. So there's a little Midwest connection, I think.
Well, we're talking about the East, about Florida Atlantic, ranked 25th in the final AP regular season poll versus Tennessee, which was ranked 20th, so not much difference. That's a 9-4. And in the other matchup, you have Michigan State, which did not receive a single vote 37 teams received votes in the final regular season poll. Michigan State, Arkansas, and Princeton did not. But Michigan State would have to beat third-seeded, 15th-ranked Kansas State. And I understand that opened with the Wildcats as two-point favorites, and now that's flipped.
It has. We actually at Circa opened a pick. The early sharp money was on Michigan State. We were at Michigan State 2, and then some Kansas State money showed up today, so we're at 1.5. But, yes, Michigan State is the favorite in the game, even though they are battling the high 3 seed.
Hmm. Well, what about the Wests? And UCLA, certainly a popular pick out in Vegas, and as is Gonzaga. They bring a boatload of people in for their conference tournament, lots of Zags fans. That seems to be the best game in the Sweet 16, the 2-seed versus the 3-seed. And then in the other matchup there, you have Arkansas with its coach doing a striptease on the scorer's table. And UConn, the 4-seed. Do you think the winner of the Bruins and the Zags is going to represent the West?
Hard to say. I mean, but I think of the if you had your choice to fly to one of the four region and watch these games, I think you'd fly to Las Vegas for sure. Those games are dynamite. Gonzaga, UCLA played a couple years ago in a wild one, and you got defense versus offense, and you never know what that crazy muscle might take a shirt off, and Hurley's he's a sight for sore eyes too. So two really good games out here. You know, really contrasting styles. Connecticut's a bruising type of team. Arkansas likes to run. UCLA is really slow and playing a lot of defense. And Gonzaga guards nobody and just tries to outscore you. So it should be a heck of a region. I think it's a dead coin flip of all four coming out of there. That's how close it is. I know Connecticut's like 4.5 over Arkansas and UCLA is 2 over Gonzaga, but to me, they're all coin flips, and any of those four can get the final four.
So your choices, then, to come out of these four regions, in the South, do you like Alabama?
I think Creighton's going to come out of there. I think they're going to upset Alabama.
All right, that would be a 6-seed over a 1. What about in the Midwest? You said you liked Houston.
I do. I do think Houston will get through somehow, some way. I think on pure grit alone, and I think it's just sort of destiny that they get home to the Final Four. And I do think Houston will get through.
And what about the West? You've got Arkansas, UConn, UCLA, and Gonzaga. 3 of the top 10 teams in the poll, 7, 9, and 10, grouped very close together. Who do you like representing the West?
Even though they got the key injury, I'm going to say UCLA. I think Tiger Campbell and Jacquez Jr. will get them through somehow, some way. I think Cronin is awful good, and I think UCLA, they're very senior-laden. I think they'll find a way to get it done. How, I don't know, and it will be ugly, but I do think UCLA will get through.
Nick, I don't know how long Mark Few intends to coach, but do you think that he will ever snip Nets at the Final Four?
I do. I do think that will happen. I don't think it'll be this year's team. I think this year's team wouldn't crack any of their I'd say they have 10 other better teams along the way than this one. I think he's done a good job with this team, though. I think he's done one of his better coaching jobs this year, but they've become such a national program and got such a good recruiting pipeline. I do think he will cut the Nets down someday.
Now, everyone thinks of Drew Timmy when they think of Gonzaga because he's only been around 38 years, but I look at Julian Strother as maybe their most important player, the kid from Vegas, right?
Yeah, he's a local kid, obviously dynamite high school player here and freakishly athletic, 6'7", shoots from 25 feet out. So he definitely has to have a big game because if he doesn't, they can double Timmy. And UCLA's got some bigs that can make it hard on Timmy. So Strother has to have a big game, at least a good game for them to beat UCLA, I think.
And then in the East, we have Florida Atlantic versus Tennessee, Michigan State versus Kansas State. You were talking about FAU. Could the 9 seed come out of the East at Madison Square Garden?
100%. Any of these four can. I mean, this is a coin flip city here, I think. I really believe that. I mean, Kansas State has looked really good at times this year and terrible. Same with Michigan State. They've looked really good at times and sometimes terrible. Florida Atlantic's been the most consistent, but they played the weakest schedule coming in. And Tennessee has looked incredible and absolutely got awful where they'll score 43 at any given notice. So it's such an intriguing region, and it's at the famous Mecca of the Garden. It's must see TV for me.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Maybe we can get a chance to talk again before the championship game next Monday, a week from Monday. And a lot of people will be in Houston, and Houston Cougars will be there. They just hope they'll be playing and not watching.
Let me ask you a question. If Sparty cuts down the nets in the Garden, does that mean you'll be in Houston next week?
I'll be there anyway. It'll be my 21st Final Four. But the big question is, if Michigan State wins, will it be the last time we see Tom Izzo?
Yeah.
And he's talked about the big motivation for him is to join that club. John Wooden welcomed him to the club. And at that point, I think there were 45 members. There are more now, obviously. But if he can win, it'll be the longest gap in history between championships for any coach. And if you get in that club with more than one championship, then you can retire with a smile on your face. So.
Well, he can definitely retire. He's made a lot of money and won a lot of titles, so he's accomplished a lot. So, he controls his own destiny.
And now, Nick, last week, with that win over Marquette, he is now the number one coach in terms of NCAA tournament wins as a lower seed. He has 16 of them, and Jim Boeheim had 15. So nobody
means,
has had.
When he's getting points, take him. He relishes the underdog role.
Exactly. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, have a great week.
All right, go Sparty. See you guys.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.